Keep your Bibles open there to Romans chapter 12, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this living word. And we pray, Father, that you would speak into our hearts this morning. Give us that word of life that fires us, that leads us, that teaches us, that trains us, and that sends us out this coming week and for the rest of our lives for your glory. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're looking today at the theme of stepping up and talking about sacrifice. Last week we spoke about giving. We've spoken before as well on different themes about belonging and so on. And some of these are some key discipleship truths that we need to lay hold on if we're going to make progress and go forward in the Lord. And we sung that, so I was thinking of that chorus that we sung earlier, I will build my life on his love. It is a firm foundation. And as I heard those words, I thought to myself, I was singing them, and I thought, well, Lord, am I really building my life on your love? Or am I building my life on other things, on things that I want? What am I building my life on? What are we doing is we actually think, well, we sing it, we want it, but is it what we're doing? Are we really building our lives on the love of Jesus? That will be a firm foundation for us. And I was thinking too of a picture that was given last Sunday. It stayed with me through this week of when sometimes we hold back. If you're anything like me, we hold back quite a lot often. You ever find that from day to day? And a lot of the time it's like living with a handbrake on. We sort of feel like often we're holding back. Maybe it's through fear. Maybe it's through disappointment or frustration. Maybe it's something else, control or some other thing in our life, some other barrier or hindrance or stronghold in our life that we're struggling with that keeps the handbrake on in our Christian life. And it's something that it's like sometimes how we try to walk with God, but it's not easy. It's not flowing. It's difficult. Anyone else have that experience? Like, isn't that daily life? Yeah, I'll put my hand up high. That's me. And often we said last week that we come to God, say, for example, on a Sunday morning, or maybe to a life group, and our hands are so full of other things we're holding on to, and we're holding on to so much. It might be our reputation, it might be the fear of how other people see us, it might be the fear of failing, it might be a mental health issue, it might be finance that we've worry and pressure and fear over job or it could be 101 things. And we're holding on to this stuff and we come to God you know how the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And we come and we're worshiping or we're in the word or something, and actually what we're doing is carrying all of this all the time and holding on to it. And it's hard to let go and allow the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts afresh. It can be hard. But it's so important to release these things to Jesus. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you, Scripture says. Jesus cares so much, so deeply, so personally, individually, and for your family and for the things that you are struggling with and concerned about today. He cares. He knows all about it. He loves you through it. Nothing is shocking to him or surprising to him. And we are so safe with the Lord. But he does call us to release. I wonder sometimes whether we struggle to live for God because we're holding on to so much stuff. It might actually even be stuff. We're holding on to so much that we actually need to let go of and let the Lord Jesus begin that work of healing in our hearts. This is a call, this Romans 12 passage is the Apostle Paul calling for this wholeheartedness, for Christ in our lives, and he's calling us not to the world says be yourself, but actually Paul is saying die to self, die to selfishness. It's about surrender, not asserting ourselves. A lot of our culture today is about self-actualization or self-assertion. And actually, kingdom culture, by Jesus culture, is about death to self. He says, if you don't follow, take up your cross daily and follow me, you can't be my disciple. It's about dying to selfishness. When we die to selfishness, we actually become who God has really made us to be. We take on the identity that he wants us to have. The trouble is, I notice in my life, it's my selfishness that gets in the way of that. And so much of the Christian life is clearing the way of selfishness. Trying daily, and on the daily decisions and in the daily issues of life, to bulldoze, if you like, the selfishness out of thinking and heart and life. And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at here. When he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In the first chapters of the book of Romans, chapters 1 to 11, Paul has set out the teaching, he set out doctrine, he set out principles of salvation in Christ and how to get to know God. And then from chapters 12 to 16, he sets out the practice. How does this look in your daily life? So all the things, marvelous things we've been singing about this morning, how does it translate into life and into Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and all the other days of the week? And Paul often does that in his letters. He does it in Ephesians, he does it in Colossians. He sets out the teaching and then he sets out the practice. And that's exactly what's happened here in Romans. And he's writing to these Roman Christians who are living in a highly immoral culture, and also these Christians are being persecuted. This is a time during the time of emperors such as Nero, who are white hot in persecuting the church. And so the Christians here are really under the cosh, but they're also living in a time where Paul is encouraging them not to live as the world does, but to be consecrated to God, to be set apart for God, not to look like the culture around them, but be different. Like Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, be different. And verse 1 here is a familiar word in the Greek, actually, to many of us. Where it says there, therefore I urge you, it is the word parakleo. Therefore I urge you, we remember that word, many of us will, if you're new to St. Mary's, we've been looking at this word since the beginning of the year, parakleo, paraklesis. It's a Greek word that speaks about coming alongside, journeying together. And what Paul is saying, what the Lord is saying through Paul, he's saying, I entreat you to come alongside me here. Therefore, I urge you, come alongside me. Let's stand together and in view of the mercies of God. So come with me, and we're going to look at the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God, we want to offer our whole lives to God. This paracleo and this urging, it's a passionate message. Therefore, and that therefore is there because of chapters 1 to 11, all the teaching that there has been, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But it's chapters 1 to 11, and we get to 12. Therefore, you've heard about salvation in Christ. Now, come with me. We're going to look at the mercies of God, and it's the mercies of God that lead us to surrender. He says, in view of God's mercy. Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. I think this is something that, a position, if you like, of the Christian life. God wants us to position ourselves in everyday life from the place of the view of God's mercy. That when we think about our Christian lives, we should start from this place. Here's a foundation. Here is a first rung of the ladder. Here's where we're being invited to look. And everything, what Paul is saying here, it flows from this place. God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, we are, Romans, the earlier chapters in the book of Romans For example, chapter 1 speaks about how the wrath of God is revealed against all wickedness and ungodliness. And the Romans chapter 3 reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans, as you go on through the book of Romans, he says there, for example, he uses Abraham in chapter 4 as an example and a model of faith. And the way to God, the way into the kingdom is always through faith. We have this wonderful verse in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, the book of Romans has been setting out this logical argument here, saying we were under judgment, we were under the wrath of God, we were lost in our sin would lead to death. That's all that Romans chapters 1, 2, 3 is talking about. And then chapters 4 and 5 and 6 begin to talk about faith and how we can be justified, how we can have peace with God, how we don't have to be under judgment, but how we can be justified, how we can know God's mercy and peace and grace and be forgiven. And this is the mercy of God, that we were once under judgment and now we are liberated from sin. And it's all been done on our behalf through Christ and all he's done on the cross for us. It's nothing of our works. It's not because we are good. It's because he has done it all on the cross. And that's this view of God's mercy. And he goes on then, chapters 5, 6, 7, particularly 5 and 6, talking about faith and life in the Spirit and so on. And it goes on through 7, 8, 9 and so to talk about the how we live this, talking about the life in the Spirit. And so Paul is saying here, in view of God's mercy, and we want to be really conscious of the mercy of God over our lives, that when we come each day to worship him or to pray or to seek him, that we're just so conscious, Lord, we're so grateful for your mercy in my life. So grateful. I was reminded of this week in a way, because I heard of someone who'd gone to be with the Lord this week. A dear lady who's gone to be with the Lord. And she came to Christ at one of our Love Loughton fun days. And I was so conscious of that and how amazing it is that she's now with the Lord, having come to Christ because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy. It's wonderful. Without Christ, we are lost. In Christ, we are found. Mercy. Do we sometimes forget what we've received? Do we sometimes forget and we go on and try and strive in our own strength to live for God, and we forget it's all because of his mercy. It's all of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's all been won on our behalf. In view, come and stand alongside me, brothers and sisters. And in view of God's mercy, I want you to offer your whole lives. Because that's the only thing we can do. When you realize how much you're loved, isn't that the truth? You and I, you want to give yourself in response to that love. When we come into contact with mercy, it produces in us this desire to come and to say, I'm going to offer my life. When we come into contact with all Jesus did for us, and that's why we never ever want to lose the wonder of the cross, the wonder and the beauty of all Jesus did on the cross for us and in his mighty resurrection, his glorious ascension. Because when we remember Jesus, when we put Jesus in the first place in our lives and say, well, Lord Jesus, I've got all kinds of stuff overwhelming me in my life today. I'm overwhelmed by this, that, and the next thing, whatever it is for you. But actually, when we say, despite all that, Lord Jesus, I want to just focus on your mercy in my life. You are the merciful Savior. You're my Savior. And all that that produces in every time I think about that, even if my life isn't always completely reflecting as I would like the Lord Jesus, I come back to that place where I say, Jesus, I just want to live for you. I just want my life to belong to you. When you're given something so precious as Jesus has given for us, it produces that desire to surrender back to him. We want to see the mercies of God. That's the gospel. Is Jesus your Savior and Lord today? Because if you know him and if you've invited him into your life, and for some people here today, you might not yet have invited Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior to forgive your sin, to bring his mercy into your life, and to be made a new creation in Christ Jesus, to come to the Lord Jesus and have new life in him. Today is a day where you can make your own decision to follow the way of Jesus. And I would encourage you, do find one of our prayer ministry team or find me at the door, and I would love to introduce you to Jesus today, because it's his mercy. There is mercy. This is the day of grace. We're living right now under the grace and the mercy of God. There is a way to God. We don't have to suffer under the power of guilt or shame or sin or any kind of these things. These things can be broken in the name of Jesus. Shame is such a powerful force in our culture today, but Jesus is the one who heals shame. There is a way, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's in view of God's mercy that we come to Christ. He says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is something that's really important, actually. And sometimes I can be really guilty of this, where I focus a lot on the heart, inward things. But actually, the Bible here is saying, like, offer your body. And in Rome, for these people, there would have been a lot of what they described as Platonic thought, that the body itself was just a nuisance. And the body was something to be, you know, despised, I suppose. And actually, what Paul is saying here is offer your bodies. And when I think about that, it makes me think about, I'm going to offer my hands to God this week. That's what we've been hearing about with Food Bank. People who are offering a helping hand to God. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of your love. What about your tongue? Could you offer your tongue to God and say, Lord, use my words this week to build up, not to tear down. Use my words to bless and not curse. Use my words to encourage, not to criticize. We can offer our tongue to God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What about your mind? You know, your mind, your brain. You can give your brain to God, and the powers of thought and thinking and invention, or in your workplace, what you're doing it all for the glory of God. What about our feet and the places that we go and the things we do? Where you go this week, offer it to God. We can offer these things up to God. All of our bodies, very practical this. Offer your body. Where are you going this week? What are you doing this week? What we do, we are often told it's what you being, not doing. But what you do is also really important as well. And let's offer practically our bodies to God in surrender. He says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is alive, that is holy, that is pleasing to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I die daily. In Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's about dying to sin, this selfishness, dying to my own will, my own ambitions, my own dying to the selfish, the sinful nature, and finding true life, a living sacrifice. I was watching, has anyone seen that film, The Darkest Hour, about Churchill? I was watching that film. It's a great film. I find it really quite moving about the life of Churchill. Churchill's an interesting man because he was one who called for war in a time of peace. And a lot of people, if you think about that in Christian terms, you know, we are actually living in a spiritual battle all the time. And sometimes we need to know it's a battle. And we are at war, and we have an enemy, the devil, who is like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. And we're called to resist him in the spiritual battle that we are in. But I was thinking about how Churchill was really honest with the country during the war, how he told the nation about sacrifice. It's going to mean blood, sweat, and tears. It's not a bed of roses, this conflict that we're in. It's going to demand everything of us as a nation. And the tremendous wordsmith that he was able to inspire people through those stirring speeches and how important that is. But I thought it was really interesting that he never, you'll see from the film, no spoilers, but he wrestled with it. But fundamentally, he was honest with people and saying, sacrifice. Come on, let's sacrifice. This is what freedom is worth sacrificing for. It's worth all the suffering, all the toil, all the hardship. He kind of promised people, if you come with me, you're going to get hardship, but we'll get to victory in the end. And actually, it's very similar to the way that Jesus spoke to people. Jesus tended to say to people, if you come and follow me, you'll die to yourself, but you'll really find life. That's what he meant when he said, anyone who comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And there's many of the teachings of Jesus that are like that. And for some people, they decide, no, I'm not going to sacrifice. I just want to have the comfort of my life exactly arranged in the way I want it. And so Jesus is going to go on the back burner for me. Well, then Jesus was clear, you can't be my disciple. But if we are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm gonna go for it, Lord. I want that freedom, so I'm also going to embrace sacrifice. This, in the contemporary Western church today, we actually know very little of sacrifice. It's kind of an alien concept to us because we are actually so comfortable. And it's something that the Holy Spirit does do is disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. And sometimes when we are comfortable, we do need a kick. We need to be disturbed. We need to be called to the battle, called to sacrifice, called to give everything, called to not hold back and not to retreat in our Christian lives. And that can look like many things for different ones of us because we all have different battles to fight, but we have the same common enemy. The devil roaring like a raging lion, but we want to resist him. And today is a day where we want to be a living sacrifice, and anyone who sets their face to be a living sacrifice, who's going to say yes to God, in other words, yes to God, no matter what it costs me. Yes. I'm going to go through with God. I'm going to obey God. I want to live for God through my struggles, through my pain and doubt and disappointment, through all of that, I'm going to say yes to God. Then that is this living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. It's a sacrifice to witness for Christ when you share the message of Jesus, because we're kind of opening ourselves, becoming vulnerable to people disagreeing with us, I suppose. And it can be sacrificial to be a witness. It can be sacrificial to serve, because it means we don't get to do exactly what we want with our own time, because we're serving someone else. It's sacrificial to give. We're giving of our financial resource to God. So we're choosing not to keep it, but to give. It can be sacrificial, and it is to genuinely love. It is, isn't it? Love is sacrificial. Otherwise, what is it? It's not real. It's something fake. Love is sacrificial. Prayer is sacrificial. Prayer. Forgiveness. Whenever we choose to forgive somebody, that's incredibly sacrificial, because you're giving up your right, your entitlement, to be offended or to be to have a grudge. And you give up that right. And it's a sacrifice. That's being a living sacrifice, forgiving someone. Praying when you don't see an answer. Giving loving, serving, kindness, the fruit of the, you know, all these fruits of the Spirit. To be patient can be sacrificial. To grow in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Sometimes kindness is the most sacrificial thing. To love your enemies, to pray for those that are mistreating you, is sacrificial. Everything in you, like a coach on horses, want to retaliate, but instead forgive. My goodness, that is hard work. That is sacrificial. That is a living sacrifice. So in the ordinary things of life, in our surrender to God, we're to be sacrificial. A great preacher I heard, Alan Redpath, he shared, he gave this story where he said he was coming home from a conference and opened the front door, and he's got two daughters, and the two daughters run down the stairs, "Daddy, daddy, daddy," you know, they're so pleased to see him. One of them throws her arms around his leg and looks at the other one and says, "I've got all there is of daddy." And the other one comes up into his arms and she looks down at her sister and says, "Yes, but daddy's got all there is of me." And I think that's a good picture of the Christian life. Sometimes we want to be the first one and we say, "Well, you know, I've got all there is of God." And that's fine, but I'd rather be the second one and say, "God has got all there is of me. In my struggles, this is not about being perfect. This is just about saying I surrender. In all my brokenness, Lord, I come. Come and take my life as best as I can, as genuinely as I can, as brokenly as I can. Come, Lord Jesus." We're not freed from problems when we do that. There are many Christians, and I've been reading their lives. If you think of someone like John Wesley, John Wesley had problems in his marriage. I don't know if you know that. Many people don't know that. Tremendous man of God, and yet there were problems in his life. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest preachers the UK has ever produced, and he suffered with depression. C.T. Studd, one of our great missionary leaders, he suffered with addiction. Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts had such a tremendous ministry in the Welsh Revival, but he really suffered with anxiety and mental health issues. It doesn't mean that people who seek to be living sacrifices are somehow exempt from life's issues. We're not. Those issues will still hit us fully, like a train sometimes. But it doesn't mean because those issues hit us that we can just walk away and get some sort of exemption from surrendering our lives to God. Well, I can't surrender my life to God because of X, Y, or Z. That's how sometimes we feel. Well, Lord, you know my circumstances. Those other people who seem to be living with no problems in their life, they can live for God. But for me, I've got X, Y, and Z problems. I got an exemption certificate from the Lord not to have to bother too much. But you know what? That's not true. The Bible calls us all, because we all have problems, don't we? All of us. We could all tell the Lord about our reason for our exemption from giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. You could come up with your reason. I could come up with one. We could all make our petition and see what the Lord says. The fact is, you know, we're all called, and actually the beautiful thing is, the brokenness is all part of it. It's all part of it. So don't count yourself out. This call to surrender is something beautiful. It's something wonderful. Remember we said at the beginning, in view of God's mercy, in response to what Jesus has done for me, what is my response? It's just for me as a human being in the 21st century to say, I give myself with all my hang-ups. Here I come, Lord. You've given yourself to me, Lord. I want to lay my life down as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is a spiritual act of worship. Today, friends, that's our call. It began for me when in 1991, where I first prayed that prayer, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I come. I offer you my life. Lord, I want that renewed mind that it speaks of. It says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I prayed that prayer of surrender. I prayed this prayer of Romans 12. I want to be a living sacrifice. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Come and take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Sometimes I think the most miserable Christian is the one whenever we decide to try and live half in and half out of the kingdom. And it's the most important and wonderful thing for us to be on the journey of surrender. Lord, I surrender. Then sometimes we mess it up, but then we come back and say, Lord, I surrender. We don't all get it right, but we keep going. We keep persevering until the end, because it's not success, it's faithfulness that God is looking for. It's not perfection, but it is passion. And so Jesus wants us, just like Paul said, I urge you. Paul is saying, come on, church. In your context of immorality, in your context of persecution, in the culture you live in, come on, church. Look at how much Jesus has done for you. Now offer your bodies a living sacrifice to him. And I think that that's what God wants for us here. And I think it would be one of those things that transforms our church. The more of us that can live in a living sacrifice way. And see, you know, like Heather just said, that God broke her heart for the poor and for the needy and for the lost. And I always relate to that and I think, oh God, break my heart so that I would give myself for these things. And we've spoken about food bank today, but it could be any number of things for different ones of us here. God has broken some of our hearts in this place for counseling, to see people set free, to see freedom come into people's lives. There's prison ministry reflected here. There's things like Job Club and other ways in which we long to see people's lives transformed. And we're saying, oh God, in each of these ways, people get hold of it and they say, oh God, I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to pour out my life for others. And that's what God wants of us. Let's stand together. I'm just going to pray briefly. We're coming up to communion. Just two brief prayers, if I may. The first one, if you don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you want to make today the day where you say yes to God, you can pray along with me this prayer, and genuinely meaning it in your heart to God. Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I thank you for your love for me. But I'm really conscious that I have sinned and fallen short. Please forgive me. I receive your mercy in my heart. And ask Jesus that you would make me new and clean and right with God. I believe that you died for me and rose again. And today I put my trust in you as my Lord and my Savior. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. And help me to live for you from today onwards. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to speak with you or tell someone around you about that. We'd love to pray for you. But just one other prayer for many of us who are already in Christ. And a prayer of surrender. So if you want to join in this prayer with me, then please, only if you mean it. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come as we are. I come as I am. And I pray that what there is in my life, that you would have it all. That you would take my life in response to your love for me. Help me to live a life of Christ-likeness. To be a living sacrifice. I want to please you, Lord. Forgive me for wandering away in my own strength with my own agenda. And today I come back to Christ and pray that you would take my life and help me to live in the power of your Spirit for your glory. I surrender all to Jesus. In your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to the band, they're going to come up and we're going to prepare to receive communion.